This morning, we're talking about Palm Sunday. That should come as no surprise to anybody here. And so we're going to be in Luke chapter 19, verses 28 through 40, and I'll give you a second to get there in your Bibles, your Bible apps, or whatever it is you use to unpack the Word of God in your life. And then I'll read through it, and then we'll start. Now, and I'll preface this morning by saying I'm not necessarily going to go and unpack the verses, but some of it will come back and some of it will just help us as we go on our own journey this morning, because that's what Palm Sunday really was. Palm Sunday was about Jesus's journey to Jerusalem, as Terry talked about, and it was the culmination of the fulfillment of Scripture, that Jesus was going to come, he would come humbly, and that would be the signal that he was the Messiah, and it's the start of Holy Week, and we all know the importance of that. And so Luke 19, starting in verse 28, says this: "After Jesus said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, 'Go to the village ahead of you. As you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Say, the Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked, 'Why are you untying this?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. And he went along, people spreading their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began to joyfully praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.'" Would you pause and pray with me for just a moment? Heavenly Father, we thank you for, again, this opportunity. And God, I know we've prayed a number of times already this morning, but God, there's no limit. And I find that hugely encouraging that we can come to you anytime, any number of times that we want to, for whatever reasons we have. And so this morning, God, I ask that as we unpack Palm Sunday, as we talk about how Palm Sunday plays into the art of neighboring, God, that you would bless our time together this morning. God, help us to still have that sense of joy that we have in the Easter narrative, in the stories of Holy Week. Be with us this morning, God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so we've been going through this series, The Art of Neighboring, and we've been on this journey for 40 days, and for some of us, it's been fulfilling. Some of us, it's been rewarding. Some of us have already seen the impacts of going out into our community, and in our community, I mean our immediate neighborhood community where we live, and meeting our neighbors. For some of us, that might have looked different. Maybe we don't have geographical neighbors. And so for some, maybe we have found neighbors at work. Some of us have found neighbors in just different places that we frequent. And for some of us, it might have been difficult, or it might still be difficult. It might be rocky. It might be uncomfortable. It might be hard for us to go out and put ourselves out there. And so today on Palm Sunday, as we go through and look at the path that Jesus took, there are some things I think that we can unpack that are relative to our path to becoming a good neighbor, because that's really what we're on, right? We are on a path. We said at the very beginning, Pastor mentioned multiple times, that his prayer for this 40 days and pretty much every 40-day study that we've ever had is that it would never end at day 40, but that day 40 would just be the launching pad that would project us into a deeper relationship with God and help us to really just become the authentic people we should be as children of God. And so this was no different. The study was different in what we were asking you to do. We've asked you to pray for 40 days. We've asked you to read the Bible and unpack it for 40 days. We've done a number of other series that were designed to guide us through 40 days, but this one was different. And so as Jesus takes his own journey and path to Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, there's some things that we see in that journey that I think are important for us to talk about as we continue our path to being a good neighbor. The first part about being a good neighbor means that we have to first love ourselves. Loving your neighbor starts with loving who you are and being who you already are. Jesus was being who he was meant to be. Jesus was fulfilling what the Old Testament scriptures had said about him all along, is that he was going to come, he would ride on an unridden colt, he would come into Jerusalem humbly, not as the striking warrior king that everybody wanted him to be, but that he would humbly come and be the Savior. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the Son of God. Throughout his ministry, throughout his life on earth, he never pretended to be anything. In fact, he told people time and time again that he was not going to be what they wanted him to be. So in order to love others, we have to first love who God made us to be. Matthew 22:39 says, love your neighbor as yourself. And how can we love our neighbor as ourselves if we don't love ourselves? I mean, isn't that what Jesus is saying? Love your neighbor in the same way that you love yourself. Not loving yourself is like saying that God got something wrong. And if we hate ourselves, then if we're abiding by this commandment in Matthew chapter 22, that means then we would then hate our neighbor because we don't like ourselves. God doesn't get anything wrong, and the audacity we have sometimes to think that he did, to think that there's something that's not right with us, to think there's something, before I can love my neighbor, before I can go out and introduce myself to people, I need to be a better version of who I am. This morning I'm here to tell you, you can't hate what God already loves, what God has already called perfect. Genesis 1:27 says, so God created man in his own image. You see, God created us and shows us his great love in the way that he relates himself to us through community. He made himself in his own, he made us in his own image. When we consider this, we think we have to be reminded that loving ourselves is, we're being reminded that God created us. Everything about us was made in his image. Yes, we are drawn to sin as part of a broken world, but that was never God's intention with creation to begin with. Loving ourselves is not a selfish, boastful love, but rather an acceptance that I am a child of God. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Our loving of ourselves comes because God first loved us. God is love. John 4:16 tells that, and that whoever abides in him will abide in God. Whoever abides in love will abide in God. We love ourselves because God loves us. And if God loves us, we are worthy. We are valuable. We are something to behold. And so for some of us who may be struggling with how, where do I start in this whole art of neighboring? How I've met my neighbors, I know their first name, but how do I get to that second line of the little neighborhood square that we've been working through? How do I get to beyond the, my first name is Joe? Take an inward look and see how you view yourself. Are you worthy to have a good relationship with someone? Do you feel worthy to be loved by God? And the answer to that question should be yes. We are made in his image, and God's image is love. And so we are the embodiment of God's love. The second part of the path to becoming a good neighbor requires us to share joy. We've done that this morning in a number of ways. If I heard when we started singing the song Hosanna, I heard people started clapping as the kids were coming in. And if you look up here, the kids are probably a little nervous. They're trying not to whack the kid next to them with the palm branches and stuff. But then there's smiles on their face as they see your smile, right? They're not sure if they're doing a good job until they look out and they see. So for Eve standing here, she's looking at Amber, right? If Amber's smiling and showing her that she's doing a good job, she is happy. If there was no one for her to look and to see that joy, she wouldn't be able to share the joy on her face. We shared joy when we heard the banjo, and that wasn't just a joke, but the banjo is joyful. It is a joyful instrument that gets people to move. If you didn't see my son back there, the moment the banjo started playing, he got up and was dancing like it was a celebration in a hoedown. It causes joy within your body. That joy isn't meant to be pushed down. As a dad, I did grab him and pull him closer to me and get him to stop moving a little bit, but only because he would be eventually down on the floor and kicking his feet and he'd be screaming at some point. So you do have to calm him down just a little bit. But that's natural. That was just, he felt that in himself and he got up and he started moving. That's what joy is, and that joy is meant to be shared. The people around him hopefully were smiling at what he was doing. But we can't bottle joy up and keep it to ourselves. Joy is meant to be shared. In our verse that we read this morning, or our passage we read this morning, starting in verse 37, it says, "When he, Jesus, came near the place where the road comes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles that they had seen. They screamed things like, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples. Quiet them down. Get them to shh. This is not okay what they're doing.' And I love Jesus' reply. 'Surely I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.'" Which tells me a lot about sharing joy. Sharing joy is the byproduct of proximity to Jesus. As we draw nearer to Jesus, as Jesus does things in our lives, joy is the byproduct of that. Joy is meant to be shared. If you think back to the last 4 years, there's been a lot of things that have been missing. And I know, we're going to talk about COVID, we're going to talk about 20, not really. But I think there are some things that have fundamentally changed about the way that we approach things. If any of you are in like the business sector, you have zero in-person meetings anymore, right? Everything's on Zoom. Everything's on Zoom or Microsoft Teams. You don't get together. I work for a nonprofit, and we have people that we could drive to an office in Sarasota, and we do sometimes, but a lot of times we meet on Zoom because it's just easier to do those things. And so community has changed drastically over the last several years. Sharing those great moments in person with another person, right? Sharing those memories and those things that have happened has changed because we don't get together as often as we used to. As people of faith, we are made in God's image. And if you think of God, God designed us to live in community. And how do I know that? Because God himself lives in community. That's what the Trinity is. The Trinity is perfect harmony and community. God living amongst himself together. We are meant to experience joy, to experience love and joy together. And our joy comes from God. According to John 16:22, no one can take that joy that comes from God. As parents, that's what we live for. We live for those little joy moments, those little moments that make us smile. When our kids do something and the other parent is not in the house, or you want to share it with the aunts or the uncles or the grandparents, you take a video and you send it. Or you put it on Facebook or social media for people to see. Sometimes when your kids say those cute little words, right, where they say something that isn't quite, phonetically correct, you ask them to say it over and over and over again. And Eve is in that phase. And so Eve says things, that aren't necessarily the correct way. We understand what she means because we're her parents and that's our job. But she doesn't say ranch, she says wanch. So it's a little bit of a W in there. And so we were at lunch yesterday and we were having lunch with her, and she was like, "Oh, I have this wanch that I'm dipping my French fries in." And we must have made her say that 15 times at the table, right? And the funny thing is like when we do that over and over, she's eventually going to say ranch correctly, and we're going, "Oh, man." Right? I remember when Richard was young, he used to call Amber Hami with an H at the beginning of it. And then I remember how excited she used to be to hear him say, oh, Hami, come here. Oh, I want to see you, Hami. Until the day he said, Mommy. And then she said, wait, what did you just call me? And he said, Mommy. And just like that, it was gone, right? Joy is fleeting sometimes. And so we have to capture those moments. We have to share those moments. We have to enjoy those moments of joy when they come. And that only happens by first loving ourselves, by understanding that we are made in the image of God and that we are designed to be and live in community with other people. And that as we, in that community, strive towards Jesus, as we get closer to him, our proximity to him, joy becomes that byproduct. And so we are loved by God first. We love ourselves so that we can love other people. And as we experience that joy through that loving relationship, we then share that with others in community. The third thing that I want us to talk about this morning is that love requires a sacrifice. Loving your neighbors is going to be a sacrifice. It's going to sacrifice your time, because you have to get up and go and do that. It's gonna require you to maybe sacrifice your talent. Perhaps you have a skill that your neighbor doesn't and they need help with a repair or they need help with something else. It's gonna cause you to sacrifice your comfort zone. You are gonna go have to share things about yourself for your neighbors to share things about themselves. Unless you have those neighbors who just can't help but tell you everything that has ever happened in their life. But even still, that is going to require you to be out of your comfort zone and listen to all of those things. It might require you to sacrifice a meal, to share a meal. It might require you to be vulnerable and talk to your neighbors when you need help with something. Amber and I have been blessed in the home that we live in because we have really good neighbors. Us having really good neighbors has nothing to do with Amber and I, although I assure you we are fantastic people. Our good neighbors sought us out because in the home that we live in, there lived a good neighbor before us. We purchased Linda Niedermeyer's house, and I've talked about that before, and I've talked about some of the blessings that has come with that, and the first one was knowing how many prayers were offered underneath of that roof. Prayers that included a lot of you sitting in here, prayers that included Amber and I, and some of the harder journeys of our own life as we created and started our family. And so that's brought us great joy. But you can see the lasting impacts of Linda being a good neighbor in the way that our neighbors interact with us. They've brought us a meal the first day that we moved in. They've checked in on us multiple times. One of our neighbors has come over and sat in the living room and talked to us. They've invited us into their house. They ask us about our kids. And they were drawn there, and they wanted to replace that feeling that they had with Linda. Linda gave of her time and her talent and her treasure constantly to not only people here in this community, but also to her neighbors as well. One of our neighbors recounts the hours that they would just spend sitting with Linda talking. Being a good neighbor requires sacrifice. For Jesus, the price on his journey on Palm Sunday, he paid the highest price. Because while it was joy-filled on the way in, while he was being praised and people were shouting all these wonderful things about him, that path ultimately led to Good Friday's cross. But the beauty of being on a path that is first rooted in us finding our identity in God and loving ourselves and to be sharing in all those moments of joy is that even though the path becomes difficult sometimes, when those things are our foundation, we never stray from those paths, and Jesus never strayed from his. Because true love is not self-centered. It's serving of others. as I was preparing for this sermon, I came across another pastor's sermon that had a funny story in it, and I kind of wanted to tell that. So Pastor Rich Knight tells a story. He was a younger man, and he had some tickets to a baseball game. And so he invited a girl that he was interested in romantically to the baseball game, and they went to the game, and they had a good time, but they sat right down like the third base line. And so if any of you have ever gone to a baseball game and you sit down that third base line, that's like foul ball territory, right? So those things are going to come, you know, shooting right down that place. And so at one point during the game, a guy's up to bat, and he hits a line drive foul ball right down the third base line, right into the stand. And he ducked. And he ducked behind the girl, not in front of the girl. And so what started out as a first date quickly turned into a last date, because he was a scared little guy and he ducked behind her. And he doesn't say that the ball hit her, but he does say that she was a little bit upset at him afterwards. And he said that as he recounts this story in different places, in different times, that he's always felt this shame, that in a moment of urgency, in a moment of need, he immediately abandoned his neighbor. So how do we stay on our path? How do we continue past today? As the 40 days is coming to a close, what do we do from here? So we have this handout that's been available for a long time, and I like that it's on a road. There's a road here, I think is what this looks like. So many of you have seen this, but I don't know that we've really rehearsed it here from the pulpit. And so I wanted to kind of go over it because I think it works well for us to kind of end this morning. It's called the BLESS practice, or the BLESS acronym. It's BLESS, and each one of the letters is going to mean something. And so this is kind of how we stay on our path, kind of moving forward, and I think it's very practical for us. And I'm going to add some things that aren't necessarily on this, because I think we have to look at both sides of the coin together. And so the B is begin with prayer. So on our handout, it says, I will pray for the people in my life and in the places that I am in. I will pray for those who are in my neighborhood. But we should also pray for ourselves. We should also pray that God fills us, with the power and the courage that we have as children of God, so that as we pray for others, we are filling ourselves as we pour out of our cup. So the B is begin with prayer, which we've been doing that over the last 40 days. So we've really just asked you to pray. Pray for your neighbors. Pray for those opportunities. Pray for God to open those doors. The L is for listen. I will listen to and discover the needs of others and the places where God is at work. And I will listen to God's prompting to the needs of others' people as well. Sometimes God gives you little nudges. And so pray that you will listen to the nudges that God gives you as you continue getting to know your neighbors. The E is probably the easiest one, is eat. Share a meal with others. We do that really well. You can practice that today by staying and eating cake with us. I will share meals and spend time. It's less about the food and more about the time. Eating is a good opportunity. It lowers anxiety and all kinds of other things, but will you share a meal? Whether you stay and have that meal with them, will you bring and deliver a meal to one of your neighbors? Share a meal and spend time with the people in your neighborhood. The S is for serve. I will respond to the needs of others, and I will help them in tangible ways that will make an impact. I will also respond to my own spiritual needs as well and serve myself in my relationship with God so that I can serve other people. And the last S is for story. Share what God has done. Share with your neighbors what God has done in your own personal life and your own personal journey. And then share with others too what God's doing in your neighborhood. Share those joy moments with others so that your joy might spark and spur others to seek joy in their own neighborhood as well. And so my prayer is this morning, as we leave this place, as we enter into Holy Week, as we continue to follow the path that Jesus took and the impact that has on our lives, that we would go beyond the 40 days. As the reading and the chapters are done, as the emphasis on Sundays may fade in some ways, would we stick to the path of being a good neighbor? Would we love ourselves so that we can love others? Would we be willing to share that love from Christ in the community with other people? Would we do that in sacrifice when and where necessary? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to come and to be with you. And God, what a tremendous time we've had in the last 40 days. And God, I know that the stories are not over, but they're just starting. And so God, help us to follow these simple guidelines, these simple cones on the road to help navigate us to where we need to be. God, would we find our identity rooted in you so that we can love other people because we've been first loved by you. God, would you fill our lives with joy? God, not joy that the world tries to offer us that's you know, foolish and temporary, but God, joy that's eternal that we can find in you. And God, would you help us to sacrifice in the areas that we need to? God, continue in the moments that we have remaining today to pour into our lives through song, through fellowship, through eating together. God, in all those ways, we give you thanks. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.